We are talking about cruising this morning. Now, once international travel is allowed, and we've heard a little bit more about travel bubbles over the past couple of days, would you still be happy to go on a cruise? 131873. I mean, after the Ruby Princess scandal, to be honest, you could not pay me to go on a cruise. Even when everything is COVID safe, I would not be comfortable on a cruise ship. But mind you, I've never been on one, so I've always felt a little uneasy about them anyway. But the industry is suffering. I mean, we've seen images of cruise ships being scrapped overseas. They are banned here until the end of the new year, but there's a big push for them to resume operation in the new year. Does it have a future? Well, Tony Eades is a brand futurist. He understands how the business works and how industries can rebuild their customer base. And Tony joins me this morning. G'day, Tony.
Hi, Clinton. How are you this morning?
Would you go on a cruise personally?
Look, to me, it's a good question to start the interview off. I've been on a cruise a couple of times, and to be honest, like up until COVID, cruising was probably one of the most safest things to do because, you know, if you've been on a cruise, everyone would know you wash your hands everywhere. They're always trying to contain any kind of virus that's going to, you know, get hold of anybody on board because it'll just spread like wildfire. But then post-COVID, it kind of makes you rethink the situation. But it seems that most cruise lovers, which are obviously people that are cruising a lot more, and there seems to be like 1.3 million Australians that took an ocean cruise just last year, are actually ready to get back in instead of taking a refund for 2020 when they cancelled all the cruises. They actually took a voucher to start cruising again as soon as the green light was on.
Yeah, that's some interesting research. Something like 76% of people through some UBS research actually took a voucher without a refund. And that's without even knowing when they would be able to cruise again.
That's right. Obviously being very optimistic. And I mean, you know, and quite rightly, I think the cruise kind of the cruise industry is probably coming back quicker than the airlines are because obviously the airlines are still struggling and we're not sure about international travel, of course, in the near future. But even in Europe right now, cruising has already started and got underway. And
right.
Obviously they're hoping that Australia will start at some point too.
You deal with brands and their futures. I mean, in terms of the damage that they've suffered, particularly through what happened with Ruby Princess in this country, but I mean, Carnival had the Diamond Princess off Japan as well. How do they rebuild their, I suppose, credibility with the customer base?
Well, yeah, I mean, it is very hard. I mean, to be honest, like during the pandemic, I was sort of tracking it to kind of see how bad this was actually going to, was it going to completely wipe out the cruise industry? And, you know, obviously it hasn't. I mean, one of the leaders in this space is cruisecompete.com, and they said that their bookings are up 40% for 2021 based on 2019. And I think during COVID, it's always about how does a brand, you know, perform and continue to communicate during a crisis or during a pandemic. And it was interesting to see that, you know, some of the cruise liners were actually continuing to have, you know, like gamification and things like that through their database to make it feel like they're on a cruise whilst they're in lockdown. So I think because they maintain that connection with their consumers, actually trying to win them back on has been a lot easier than if they've just put everything on hold.
And I guess it says a lot about the loyalty of people who do enjoy cruises. And I know I've spoken to them on this show before that they've been not just in one on two, but many of our listeners have been on a dozen or more. So that they're obviously very loyal to the cruise ship companies, but also the concept of what they do.
Yeah, 100%. And look, the cruise industry does require, you know, has to have that because, you know, again, just to kind of put it in perspective, like while the ships are not sailing, they put them in what they call pause destinations. So other than the ones you mentioned at the beginning of the interview that are being scrapped off Turkey at the moment, which are just basically bringing them forward from when they were due to retire to scrap the smaller ones. The other guys like Carnival Corp, which is one of the world's largest cruise companies, estimate that it costs $250 million a month just to keep the ships in this pause destination. So they really can't afford not to, you know, get their loyal customers back on track as soon as possible.
So as a futurist, once it is all kosher to get back on a cruise ship from a government regulation point of view, how do you see the industry getting back on its feet?
Well, if I look at Australia, what I would love to happen, and again, there's some economics in obviously the cost factor here, but because, you know, for the next foreseeable future, you know, some people are saying until the end of 2021, we're not going to be able to do any international travel. You know, what are the options of having a cruise liner come down here, or a couple of cruise liners, and just circumnavigate Australia. So we're still containing within our system, but giving us the opportunity to feel like we're going overseas when we're still staying in Australian water. So my feeling is if they can make that economically work, yeah, then that would be a great way to get us back at sea.
So they may well come up with new innovations to still deal with potentially no international travel, but developing more domestic experiences.
Yeah, whilst keeping within the limitations of the pandemic and everything else. But, Australia is one of the, cruising has become such a great thing. You said you've had a few people on the show, and I know, quite a few people in my network, but just, book the next cruise as soon as they depart, disembark from the last cruise. So I think the take-up would be good. Will it be as cost-effective? Because that's the other thing, as I mentioned about the economics, cruising, the advantage of that was that, it cost you a lot less to have all the food and entertainment and everything all in one place. Will they be able to maintain that same attractiveness, and will people support it? That's the question.
You make a really good point about the cost, because once we start flying again, you would have to assume that the cost of flying overseas particularly is going to dramatically increase, because they're still going to need to have some COVID-safe practices on planes, and then there's going to be limited destinations, which I would suspect means the demand for those particular holiday destinations would be higher. So overseas travel, the age of cheap overseas travel could be over for a while.
Could very well be, and I think one of the interesting things around air travel at the moment, the massive A380 jets, that quite a few of them are set up at Alice Springs at the moment, sitting in the desert doing nothing. They were going to retire all these A380 jets because they're not economic, they're big aircraft, but the chances are they could bring them back and save them from retirement because they're wide bodied. So if you end up having social distancing in the air, they'd be the ideal aircraft.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting future. I know plenty of our listeners still want to cruise. I'm unsure, but I know a lot of people love it. Great to talk to you as always, Tony.
Thank you, Clinton. Cheers.
Tony Eads, who's a brand futurist and the Chief Innovation Officer at Salted Stone.